chapter 3. And last week, as we started the book of, or started chapter 3 and we're going through it, Paul was writing to the church about how God had quickened us as believers, how he had made us alive, called us out of the dead into his marvelous light in chapter 2. And in chapter 3, he talked about the dispensation of grace that we're in right now, that God, he has set us apart and called us to this wonderful time. Do you know that this is a wonderful time that we're living in? It seems like a mess right now, but understanding that God is sovereign, he's absolutely in control, that he knows the beginning from the end. He knows the beginning of the dispensation of the church that started at Pentecost, and he knows at the end of the church when that church age will be over. We don't know that time specifically, but we can tell by the things that are going on that we're closer to the end than we were the beginning. Amen? And at this grace, as it's coming to its end, it's time for the church really to understand who we are in this time. How we are God. How not we are God, but we are God's children. We're his beloved children, and he's adopted us out of the world and called us into his marvelous light. And he expects us, he wants us to be representing him as ambassadors in this time that we're in, showing his love, his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his faithfulness. And he's called us as the body of Christ to come and do that. In chapter 3 of Ephesians, Paul is writing to the church and reminding them all of these wonderful things. And he also talked about being humble. Often we get to thinking, we get our stinking thinking going, and we say, well, I'm so much better than those lost people, right? And Paul was a very humble individual, and he said he was less than all of the saints. Yet all of the other ones that were born again, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, they were much better than he. We ought to have that same heart also, that you're better than I am, right? And in that we just edify, we build one another up. We should never look down our nose at anybody. Because remember who you were before you knew Jesus Christ, right? You were the chiefest of sinners, right? Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners, but that was before I was born. When I was born, I took that title away. I was much worse than Paul ever dreamed about being. But God. Right? But God intervened in our lives and called us into his marvelous grace. And he also asked us to join in this fellowship of the mystery that we had heard from the beginning of the world and have been made in God, created all things by Jesus. And he's talking about that wonderfulness, that encompassing power and knowledge of God, how he has control over all the powers and the principalities in the heavenly places, and how he wants us as his body to move forward in his love and his mercy, which brings us to chapter 3 and verse 11. And so let's go real quick, just a real short prayer. Father, as I open up the word tonight, I pray that you would speak to your people, that you would speak to me, Lord, that I would hear the words of the Most High God, Lord, and that you would mold me and shape me and help to cut away those dead things in me, Lord. We want to be tools, Father. We want to be tools used by you, Lord, that you would move in us, manipulate us, and draw us closer, that we could show your great love. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. And as Paul is writing, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ. Now, what is that eternal purpose, you might ask? Now, God was giving us, reminding us of all the things. In verse 10, he says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church to be manifold wisdom, to the manifold wisdom of God, according to his eternal purpose. What was the eternal purpose of God? Anyone, this is Bible study. What's God's eternal purpose? Come on, y'all.
Amen.
You know, it's not that hard. You know, his eternal purpose, some of the things that is was to make a completion of the law of God. All right? Jesus came to take the law that God gave to Moses and fulfill it. The sacrificial law. No, and praise God, we don't have to bring any animal sacrifices to the altar anymore. Isn't that nice? Think about it. You'd have to bring your favorite goat, right? Your favorite sheep, your favorite oxen up here to the altar once a week, and we'd have to cut its throat and drain its blood and do all that stuff that the priest had to do. But because of Jesus, he made an end to those sacrifices, right? He is that perfect sacrifice of God. He is the Lamb of God that bled out for my unrighteousness. Jesus willfully tied himself to the horns of the altar called the cross of Calvary and bled out that I might have a right relationship with God. It's the Old Testament picture, and Jesus said, I have fulfilled that picture. He also let us know that that not one jot or tittle of the law would be changed or forgotten or moved until all things be completed. Right? Now, so the law that thou shalt not kill, that's still a command. You should not kill. You shall not commit adultery. Right? Yeah, that's still a law of God, and that's still a good law. But the sacrificial law, where I've got to bring an animal and have it sacrificed for my sin, for my unrighteousness, doesn't have to be done anymore. Because I've trusted in what God did in me, in us, for us. That he became the perfect sacrifice. Right? That we wouldn't have to do that anymore. He also came to seek and to save the lost. It tells us that in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11. That is a simple statement that Jesus said, I came to seek and to save the lost. Who does that mean? Everybody. He came as the salvation, as that sacrifice for the whole world. He came to die not just for the sinners, but the literal, the sin, curse of the sin that is on the world. He came and he died for that. Not only did he die for that, but he rose again on the third day, that we could be set free from the curse. Amen? Good news today, guess what? If you've trusted Jesus Christ, you are set free. Amen? You're set free from the curse of sin, from the curse of death. And you can put all of your weight into that because God so loved the world that he gave Jesus Christ, the Son. You know, and if we would believe in him, we should not perish, but we should have everlasting life. Amen? So because that sacrifice was made. Another thing that he did is he came to prepare a place for us to be with him. John 14 and 6, he says that. Right? In John 14, he said, excuse me, he said, I go to prepare you a place. And if I go to prepare you a place, I will come again. Right? Praise God. There's a couple promises there. God said he's going to die, and he's going to be that sacrifice. He's going to go into heaven, and he's preparing us a place. Right? Who's excited about getting there? I am so ready. Right? I am so ready. But I need to do the work while it's still day. I still need to do the work because I'm here on this planet. I have not breathed my last breath. But I have a promise from God that he's prepared me a place. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. Right? But I am. He is prepared us a place. Praise God for that. So there are some things that he came. And that was God, according to the eternal purpose in Christ. He came to make us, to complete the sacrificial laws. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to prepare a place for us in him, in the heavenlies. Praise God for that. That is part. And we could talk all night about this eternal purpose because we're just touching a few points right there. Now, if it was just for you individually, he would have still done it. You know, if it would have only been for you, Jim, Jesus would have come and died for your sin. If nobody else would follow him and you did, he came for you. But he said, whoever would come, could come. If you will hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ today, you can be part of that eternal purpose. Woo! Praise God. That is good news. Such good news. And according to the eternal purpose, which God the Father purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness. Amen. Do you feel bold? Let me ask you.
Do you feel bold, right?
Are you bold enough to stand in a crowd and say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust him more than I trust anything else. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what Fauci has to say. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not overly concerned about what Cuomo or President Trump or anybody else has to say. My faith is in him because who he is. He is God and he loves me. And I have boldness. I will stand in that salvation, that good news, right? And no one's going to move me away from that. No one's going to take my joy. Nobody's going to move me out of the place of belonging. It's according to his eternal purpose. Amen? And we have boldness and access. Have you ever, do you know that you have access? You know what access means? You've got the key. Right? How are you going to get in? Well, you got access. How did you get access? Through, say his name.
Through Jesus.
Amen? You have access to the throne room of God, to the Most High, through Jesus Christ. And you can't get in there any other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father except through me. He also said that he was the door, he was the gateway. And if any man tried to come in some other way, that man was a thief and a liar. Right? So we have access into the Most High place through Jesus Christ. He made a way where there was no way. You couldn't be good enough. You could not obey the laws of Moses close enough to have a right relationship with God, enough to have the key to the innermost sanctum of God. But now through Christ Jesus and through your faith in what he did for you, now you have access. Doesn't that feel good? Man, I with access, if I got the key, I feel pretty free to go and unlock the door, get inside, right? So you can have boldness when you come to the throne room of God, when you bring your petitions to God, you lay it out before him, you're honest and sincere and desiring to know something from God, ask him and he'll tell you, right? When you really need something from the Lord, when you really want a touch, a word, a promise from God, read his word and you'll find it there. Pray and seek it, knock, ask, and it will be given to you. You keep looking until it happens. Prepare your heart in such a way that there wouldn't be any sin in you. Do you know that you can become sin, not sinless, but you definitely can sin less. Right? All right? So I'm not saying that you will ever reach euphoria here on the earth. All right? You'll never be perfect without sin as long as you're in this body. Because you know what this body is? Sin. What you're seeing on the outside, this carcass, this carcass called Curtis, right? It's been dying since the day it was born because sin, the penalty for sin is death, right? And so I was born, conceived in sin, right? And I am a sinner except for what Christ did for me. So if you see anything good here, anything everlasting, if anybody sees anything good in you, anything everlasting, it is Christ Jesus in you and not in and of yourself. So through that's the key. And now that I got the key, the faith, and the understanding of Jesus Christ, who he is, I have boldness to go to the door and knock and open it up. Right? I can open up the door. Jesus, he gave me the access through his death, his resurrection. He gave me the access through the adoption, through the calling me into the vine, right? And he's saying if I remain in him, I can ask what I will, and it does the Father great pleasure to provide it. Isn't that good news? Man, that is such good news that I have that access. I have that ability. I can have confidence in him. All right, in verse 12 again, in whom? In Christ. We have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now, let me ask you, do you really believe what you say you believe is real? Right? All right, we say that we believe. We say we walk by faith. Now, can you say it and not do it? Amen. I can say a lot of stuff I can't do. I can say I can fly. Remember that song? I believe I can fly. Y'all remember that? Until I jumped off the building and I gave it a try. Right? I found out I was wrong, but I fell far enough to write this song. So anyhow, you might believe that you can fly, but you can't. Right? There's some things. But I know through the Word of God that I have boldness to come into the very presence of the Most High God. I have a confidence in through what Jesus Christ did. He made a way where there was no way. I have confidence, a boldness in Him, not in of my works, but because of what He did, who He was for me, for us, that we can enter into that very place, that inner sanctum of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. And verse 13, it says, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations, for you, which is your glory." All right, so tribulations. Paul goes through some hard times. Amen. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was stoned to death at one time, right? He brought outside the gates, and they stoned him. They thought he was dead. Or actually, I believe he died. All right, and this is why I believe that he died. He said, "I know a man, whether he was in the body or whether he was in the spirit, I don't know, but he was called up to the third heaven, and he saw things that was unlawful to write." Right? And I believe he was talking about himself. Yeah. And I believe that that was when he was stoned on the outside. Wasn't it Philippi? That it was, he was stoned outside of the Philippi when he set the little sorceress free from the demon. Right? The little girl that was going around, "Oh, look, they're the representations of the Most High God," or whatever that she was saying. And she followed him around for a while. But anyhow, I believe that was him. Now, he had some tribulations. He says, now listen to what he said carefully, 11 and 12. "According to the eternal purpose," all right, "in whom we have boldness and access with confidence because of Christ," because of our faith in him. He says, "Because of that, wherefore, I desire that you faint not." That you don't quit because of somebody else's hard times. You don't quit because it gets so hard. You don't quit because the tribulations seem too much. You don't quit because someone you love is going through some problems. Right? Have you ever known a Christian, somebody who loves the Lord deeply, and they say, "Well, you know, I prayed for this person. I prayed, I sought the Lord, and the person didn't get better, so, you know, I quit." Right? I've known people to say that. Now, I pray that they came back, but at that time, they were so distressed, they were so hurt, because God didn't answer them the way they thought they should. They thought he should. Right? So, all right, I'm going to quit, you know. Paul's saying, listen, just because I'm going through some hard times, you folks in Ephesus, my tribulations, don't you faint. Don't you faint. Don't you quit because I'm going through hard times. Don't you quit, because Paul said, "I'm not quitting, even though I'm going through tribulation, I'm not going to quit." Don't you quit either. Christian, don't quit. Don't stop. Don't stop trusting. Don't stop following. Don't worry about what's happening everywhere else. All you need to do is make sure that you are in Christ Jesus, that you have accepted him, that you've trusted him, and now you have access, you can have boldness to go into the very throne room of God. You can lay your petitions out to him, but you also got to have faith that he knows what's best for you. All right? So he's not like God the lucky rabbit foot. I got Jesus. When I need something, I just ask him. He's just the genie in the Bible. I rub the Bible enough and a genie pops out and I get three wishes. No, he's God and he knows what's best for you, right? And he can say no, or he can say not now, or he can say yes to your petitions, but you still need to go boldly with faith into the presence of the Most High God in prayer and asking him those things. And don't worry about what happens to somebody else. You need to stand righteous before God. "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." Paul was going through hard times. He didn't want the church to faint because of it. The reason he was going through it is for their glory. Isn't that great? What? I mean, how wonderful is that? That someone is able to go through the tribulations of life and not be all sucked up in themselves. Right? It's not about me, it's about Christ. It's not about what I want, it's about what he wants. And the reason God is allowing, here's a thought, the reason God is allowing you to go through some hard times in your life, y'all going through anything tough right now? Going through some hard times right now? God's allowing that in your life right now, not for you, but for somebody else. Have you ever thought of that? That's why you need to hold on like Paul was holding on. And give that person that you're going through it for testimony that although Curtis might go through some hard times right now, you hold on. My tribulation, my heartache, my hurts, my pains, it's for your growth. All right? God is working this in me, and you'll see me stand. Paul was saying, I am going to stand. I have boldness. I have access to the throne room of God, just like you do. And although I'm going through some hard times right now, don't worry about it. I'm going through this. You watch me. You watch how God works this thing out in my life. Man, church, we could very well go through some hard times real soon. We really could. But praise God for that. Right? God's going to allow that to happen to us. He allows us to go through tribulations just like Paul, just like Peter, just like John, just like Jesus. He went through hard times, and he did that as a witness. He did that to show that you can go through hard times. You can trust him fully and completely, and through your hard times, somebody else might get encouraged. Isn't that good? That is good. God so loves you, and he has you going through this time, this hurt, this ache right now, not necessarily for your benefit, but for somebody else's. Amen? So you need to stand. And don't worry about, I'm so worried for that person going through tribulations. Look at them, help them, support them, love them through it, and then watch the glory of God work out. Amen? That's a wonderful thing. Verse 14. And he says, for this cause, for what cause? Because of the tribulations that he had. For this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Amen. Who are you bowing to? Amen. Who are you going to bend your knee to?
Father.
And the Father. I will bow down, and I'll bow down gratefully and honorably and willfully over and over and over for Jesus Christ. I'll bow down to the Father. I'll bow down to the Holy Ghost. And I'll even stoop and help you up. Amen? But I'm not going to bow to you. Right? I'm not going to bow to Cuomo. I'm not going to bow to the president. I'm not going to bow to this virus. What I am going to do is I'm going to stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm going to stand. I'm going to believe. And when God needs me to bow, I'm going to bend my knee willfully to the Most High God. Over and over and over again. Right? In fact, at that name, how many knees are going to bow? How many tongues are going to confess? And what are they going to confess? Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? And so I want us to get used to bowing to him now, right? Get us used to that spot, that place of humble obedience to him. For this cause, because of my tribulation, because I have boldness, because I am purposed in Christ Jesus, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. Wow. Wow, look at that. Why am I going to worship God with the fullness of my life? Because everything was made by him and through him and for his glory. It was all named on him and by him. Praise God for that. Look at how wonderful that is. The whole family in all of heaven and the earth is named for Jesus Christ. We are adopted in him. Amen? You got a name that only he knows, right? And he and you are in him. Praise God for that. That is a beautiful thought. That, in verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Wow. Where are you going to get your strength at? Through Jesus, but where in you is it going to happen? In your inner man, right? So you can be like Justin, all right? He's not here today. He's with his grandma and or his mama, I think.
Is it his mom or his grandma?
Huh? His mom. Yeah. So anyhow, they're spending time together. But you look at that body of that young man in a wheelchair, right? But he is strong in his inner man. Every time we have prayer requests, you know what he says? As best he can.
Thank you for my salvation.
He says, praise God for my salvation. He can't hardly speak, but that's what he says. It's praise God for my salvation. Praise God that I'm able to get up in here in my wheelchair and I get over there and I can do the sound thing for the church. I can serve. Praise God for that. Right? And I look at, man, you look at that heart. You look at what Paul is saying here. For this God, of whom the whole, okay, that he would grant you according to his riches and glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Justin's inner man is strong. His outer shell is weak, right? But his inner man is strong. How about you? Well, I might have a pretty strong outer look. Who cares about your outer look? Right? Your outer man. I don't care. You can be Arnold Schwarzenegger. What's his name? Schwarzenegger. That's it, yeah. You can be like him. You have one big muscle on top of another big muscle. Perfect human specimen. But his soul, right? If he doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, his soul ain't nothing. Yeah. His inner man is weak, puny, looks like Barney Fife. Right? But his outer man is out, big, strong guy. But his inner man just isn't much. I would rather have an inner man that is strong in the Lord Jesus Christ and a crippled outside. Because God looks at the heart of man. He looks at the inner man. He looks at who you really are. Because you know what? This corpse that you're wrapped in, it's going to die and turn to dust right here on this earth. Right? Your body, this skin, this corruption must put on incorruption someday. That lets me know that this tarp that I'm wrapped in will never get to heaven. But the real man, my inner man, it's going. Right? This tarp will be changed. And someday my corruption will be made incorruption. I don't know how that's going to happen, but God's going to do it, and I'm excited for it, right? And so he says that the inner man will be strengthened, verse 16 again from the top, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. What a great thought that is. I don't need to be increased in riches on this earth. Where do I need my riches to be coming from? Heaven. From glory. My riches need to be coming from that. My mindset needs to be that, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Right? How can like David, that little young lad, as he were, stand before the giant? How could he before that grab the lion by the beard or the bear and kill it with his bare hands? It wasn't because of his personal might. It was because of that strength that God gave him. Oh, to sing the Psalms, to write the Psalms that he wrote. I've been reading the Psalms over and over and over again this week, and oh my Lord, what wonders and prayers and power were wrapped up in that. Wow. Just a thing, just a little shepherd boy, right, with a heart given over to the Lord, was able to write those Psalms. It's beautiful, the Psalms that he wrote. He was strengthened, and he was mighty in his spirit, in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Oh, that Christ would dwell in me, that he would live in us. What a prayer. When was the last time you prayed like that? God, dwell. Now, we accepted the Lord as our personal Savior, and we know that he is in us. But is he ruling us? Is he Lord over us? Is he really and truly in command when he tells you to go or when he tells you to stay? Is he sovereign over you? Now, we know he is, but we also have a free will, and you can buck against the system, right? Anybody ever here ever buck? Right? He even told Paul, isn't it hard for you to kick against the goads? Right? God's trying to give you direction. He's pulling on those goats. He said, turn right, and you're going, no, left, turn right. He said, listen, isn't it hard for you to do that? Doesn't it hurt when I'm trying to get you to go one way and you're desiring to go another way? Just relax. Trust God that he knows what's before you. He knows where you're at, and he knows how to get you where you need to go. You might think you need to go left, and God's saying, no, go right. But I don't want to go right. I want to go left. I can see with my physical eyes. Well, that's why the just shall live by faith and not by sight, right? And well, I can see with my physical eyes what it looks like over here, but God said it's death down that road. So go this road. It's narrow, it's hard, it's rocky. God, are you sure you want me to go on your way? It doesn't look like a smooth road like the other road. And God's saying, listen, I want you to follow me. I want to be the Lord of your life. I want to call you and whisper in your ear and be able to move you just by tilting my eyes. Wow. My mom was good at that. She could command me by her eyes. Right? Any of you moms out there? Amen? Right? You didn't have to say much. She'll give you that stink eye. Right, Mom? Right? Yeah. Give you that stink eye and she'll, all right, yes, ma'am, I know what I need to do. I'm going to do it before the flip-flop comes off. Right? So anyhow. And Christ wants to do that. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye be rooted and grounded in love. God's desire is that he dwell in you, that he rules in you, that he is in your hearts because you believe in him. See, when you really believe in something, you obey what it says. Right? You obey it. If you really believe in the speed limit, you drive it. Right? If you can say that that's what the speed limit is, but if you really don't believe it, you don't drive it. Right? That's just true. Right? So if you really believed what we say we believe was real, if we really believe that, would we not live in a manner that would glorify him in all times? And that's what he's asking us to do, to really have faith. Let him not just dwell, but rule in your heart, that you be rooted and grounded in love. And of course, that's the great commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, everything that you have, love him. And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you do these, you've completed the fullness of the law. So why do we have such a hard time with that? Because I'm in the middle of it. Right? What's in the middle of sin? I am. Right? And so God is saying, listen, he wants to rule. He desires that he may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted, grounded in that agape. Do we really believe that God loves us? And do you? Do you believe that, well, like we said earlier, that all things work for good to those that love him and are called for his purpose? Do you believe that all in that statement? Do you believe that all things, regardless of how much tribulation, regardless of how much pain, regardless of how much it costs, that his way is better than yours? Then when God tries to give you a direction and it's not the way you want to go, that his way is better than your way. That's tough. You know, because I think I know what I want. I think I know what's best for me. I really do. But often when I've tried to do the things that I thought was best for me, they always turned out wrong. Right? I tried to do it my way, you know, I think this is the right way to go. I think this is the right thing to do. And I'm a man, I'm going to do it. And I did it, and it turned out a wreck. It was just like this life wreck. Right? Anybody, can you testify to that? Amen? Can you testify to it? But every time that I followed God by faith, it's always worked out for the best. And maybe it didn't work out for the best the next week, but the next year, when I look back at it, I can say, praise God, how he brought me into this, how he led me down that narrow, twisty road that I couldn't see around the corner of. He led me through that, and now I'm in this beautiful valley of peace and love and grace because I trusted him more than I trusted my own instinct. That's what he wants that we would be. That me, verse 18, may be able to comprehend, all right, we're rooted and grounded in love, that may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all of the fullness of God. Who wants the fullness of God? Amen? Now look at what he says here a little bit, and that we will be able to comprehend. Do you think you can really comprehend the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of God's love? I can't. I really wish I could. But he loves me more than I can comprehend. You know, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He loved me before I got right with him. He saw me in the middle of my mess, and he said, I love that person. He saw you in the middle of your mess. He said, I love you. Now, can you wrap your mind around that? Because I know what I deserve. Y'all all might deserve heaven, but I deserve hell. I do. But God called me out of that darkness into his light. He loved me, and he called me. To comprehend that God, the perfect God, became a man to die in my place that I might have a right standing and access to the Most High God. Comprehend that for a minute. Wrap your mind around that. That the perfect God became sin, that the sinner might become perfect before God. What love. Oh, what love was manifested towards us through Jesus Christ. Wow. He talks about the four different measurements there. He says the breadth of it, that's the width, the length of it, the depth and the height. See, I can't, his love is so deep I can't get under it. His love is so high I can't get over it. So wide I can't walk around it. It's so long I can't get to the end of it. And he loves us that way. How much more? Because he loves us so much, how much am I willing to suffer for his glory? How much am I willing to put off my will that his will might be done? When I read that portion of scripture there, that's what always comes up in my mind. He loves me so much. What is stopping me from doing what he's called? What stops you from doing that? Self. Sin. I want my way, my pride, my arrogance, my way instead of Yahweh. You know, and God is saying, look at how much I love you. And to know, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, it passes knowledge. All right? His love for us is so beyond us, our infinite mind cannot fully wrap around the infinite God. Our finite mind can't wrap around the infinite God. See, I try to understand the depth and the length and the breadth and the height of God's love. I can't. It's beyond my knowledge. It's beyond my ability to. I mean, the best I can do is my love towards others. And I know I don't love, as much as I love you guys, I don't love you like God loves you. As much as I would do for you, I can't do for you what God can do for you and is willing to do for you. Not only is he willing, he's able, and he wants to. Man, he wants to. He spoke, and the world came into existence. That God. That scooped up the dust of the first man and breathed into him his very breath, that we could become a living soul before the Most High, that we could have fellowship with him. And even though our first father, all right, Adam, let sin in and caused that separation, God said, I'm going to come myself and I'm going to fix what man has messed up. What love. He didn't have to do that. He got to do that. He did it out of a fullness, out of a willingness. Jesus told Pilate, no man takes my life, but I freely give it. I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I can pick it back up. Oh, what love he has for us. I don't know if you've ever thought of it or tried to wrap your mind around it, or just rests inside of it. What a great place to rest inside of the love of God. To sit down and just be in that big jacuzzi of love. Right? So you sit down in that, the hot bubbling waters all around you. And
the love boat.
And the love boat. And it's so much more than all of that. See, we can't even wrap around it that God loves you so much that He wants to be with you so much that He prepared a place for you. Just for you. You. Yes, just for you. He has a spot made special for you. Ryan, He's got a spot for you. With no paintbrushes in it. No. He's got a spot just for you. He loves you. Can you wrap your mind, the knowledge of the love of God, in that? Now unto Him, that's God, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So looking at this, that abundance of love, that the exceedingly, even Paul, as he's trying to write, he had a better understanding of who Jesus was than what I do. He had a better understanding about the love of God. He had a better understanding. And he wrote 2/3 of the Bible, right? He had this great, intimate relationship. There wasn't, when God said, hey, go, Paul got up and he went, right? He didn't say, well, God, I'm going to wait around for a month or two and then I'm going to go. When it's more convenient for me, I'm going to go. He said, go, and he went. And as he went, he met Christ in a newer, deeper way every single time. You know, if God tells you to get up and go, you know what He's trying to get us to do? Well, to obey, to know Him better. You know Him better as you walk by faith. You know Him better. You get to see Him in a new aspect. God calls us to do things, to love more, to walk and do the dangerous things in this life, to boldly proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord, which is a dangerous thing in this life. He does that we could know Him in a more intimate, deeper way. Have you ever thought of that? He only asks you to do something, not for His benefit, but for yours. Because God can do it without you. You know, when He made all the worlds, all the stars, all the stuff, He didn't ask you your opinion, did He? And that's what He said to Job, right? Where were you when I taught the eagle to fly? Right? You know? He did this that we might know Him, that we might know, be able to understand that abundance of love that He has for us, that is above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He wants to do more for you than what you can think. So the best that you can think for yourself, guess what? God's got something better. So when I think that I've got to have it my way, God's got something better than your way. Now, it might not be through the avenue that you want to get to it, but if you follow Him, you will find the best that He has for you. That's what Paul is writing here. All right, and it's the power that works. How do I know how to follow God, and how do I know which way to go? Through the power that's in me already, through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost lives in me. Jesus said, I go and I'm going to send the Paracletus, the Comforter, one just like me, to live in you. We're going to make our abode in you. And He's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to guide you and love you and mold you and shape you, conform you into the image of Christ. But you've got to be willing to go with Him. Because God ain't going to break your arm to make you do it. He'll ask you. My call to the ministry. Right? This was real simple. I was in my truck. I was driving through Caledonia. I was heading to York. I was going to install some floors. As I was driving through Caledonia, the Lord laid on my heart, no one's preaching the gospel here. I drove by like 5 churches that day. I said, God, are you sure? Nobody, there's a Presbyterian church, Assembly of God, the other Assembly of something else, and there's this church over here, and a church, there's a Catholic church, there's another Presbyterian church, there's an Episcopalian church. Nobody's preaching the gospel. Every time I went to prayer, that was the thing that laid on my heart. Yeah. And it was like a weight around my neck. And so I asked my pastor, I said, hey, I think God's called me to start a church in Caledonia. You know what my pastor said? Pastor Tom? He said, if God's in it, it will work. So we rented a building. I've never gone to Bible college. I'm a floor guy. Yeah. No, I'm Amos. I tend to the sycamore trees and I breed sheep. That's all I do. I had no thought, inclination about being a pastor ever. But God has something different. And if I would have not gone, somebody would have. And I wouldn't have known God the way that I know him now if I would have not obeyed him when he told me to go. Right? God's wanting to do something for you tomorrow that he's asking obedience today in. Right? He says, I got something for you 10 years down the road. All right? I have something for you. Will you trust me enough to follow me? Do you love me, Peter? Yeah, God, you're my best friend. I'm real fond of you. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Right? Do you love him? Do what he's told you to. Right? And I know that you do. I'm not trying to put a damper on you. God loves you so much, will you love him back just a little bit? Right? If you obey my commandments, you love me, right? So just follow him. Do what he wants you to. Unto him, and you do it not for your glory, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. We do whatever we do it for Jesus Christ. You don't do it for yourself. You do it for him. If he tells you to do it, you don't do it for your vain glory. Pat yourself on the back. You know, if you do that, then you've got all the reward you'll ever get. But if you do it for him, you do it for his will, then he will get all the glory. And throughout all the ages. See, we don't want him just to have the glory today. We want him to have the ages, all of the glory for all the ages. And that he would be high and lifted up. Not pastor so-and-so, not church so-and-so, not congregation so-and-so. But Jesus, not the mother of Jesus. Jesus, right? It's to him be the glory forever and ever throughout the world, or our world without end. Amen. So praise God. All right, we'll not get into chapter 4 until next week. So anyhow, if you gathered anything from today, all right, accept the love of God. Know that he loves you more than you can love yourself. Know that his plans are better than your plans. Follow him, recklessly follow him, trusting even when you don't know the way. Lean into him more than you can lean into your own understanding, and he will get all the glory. Amen? Amen. So I love you guys. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your grace, your goodness, Lord. We thank you for the mighty love and what you have loved us. We pray, Father, that you would allow us just to sit down in that jacuzzi of love through Jesus Christ, that we could rest in that and all of our confidence be put in you and through you. And Lord, we want to know you deeper and better and more intimately than we have before. Father, we thank you for those things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.